I don't know of any farmers who, after you handed them $200, would say, wow, I am changing my entire operation right now. This is amazing.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Fred, it is great to be back with you talking about real science on Friday. And today, our special guest, he's back, Fred. He is Dr. Thomas Dykstra. He's an entomologist. He's an agricultural consultant. He's the lab director at Dykstra Labs, as you can well imagine. It's named after him. So
it's kind of cool how it works out that way. Yeah,
that's right. And he's in Gainesville, Florida. He's got a master's, he's got degrees, he's in the world, he's made a living at this for a long time. Trust me, folks, he's qualified to talk on this issue. These issues, actually. Dr. Dykstra, we got a number of topics to go through. Welcome back to Real Science Radio. How is life in Florida?
Life in Florida is doing much better now that we have rain. So we had drought conditions for a while, things were not looking good, and I'm thinking people were going to stop coming to Florida. Because we just didn't have the vegetation, but the rain has come back. Therefore, I'm doing much happier. And as an agricultural consultant, things just look a lot prettier. So thank you for asking.
Hey, so are the mosquitoes down this year with the drought?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, mosquitoes are aquatic in the immature stage. Some of your listeners may know that. Some of them may not. They are down because of the lack of water. But because we are getting rain, they're laying their eggs, and I'm sure we'll get some coming out in a few weeks. So not looking forward to that because it just kind of comes with the territory. But, hey, that's what the dragonflies are there for.
Oh, yeah, well, I love dragonflies.
Yeah.
And so, they love mosquitoes.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
It is.
So, Dr. Dykstra, there's been a lot of attention in the media lately that has to do with something called regenerative agriculture. So this guy named Robert Kennedy Jr., you remember that guy, right? I think he's the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services.
I know. Yep.
And he was recently at Chef's Garden in Ohio, and this headline caught Doug and I's eye, and it was on this farm's commitment to grow nutrient-dense food. And so something like nutrient-dense food remind us of Thomas Dykstra, because when you were on our show last time, you helped me start buying organic food at the grocery store. So we're like, okay, we need to have you back on to see if you're willing to, you know, weigh in on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and this whole regenerative agriculture.
So I positively influenced you? What about all those negative comments that you made?
There were negative, too. But my wife's like, oh, yeah, organic is not, you know. But no, I started buying more organic stuff when I can, not all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Nutrient density, I mean, that really is the way to go. Sometimes you can get organic and it's not nutrient dense, and you can get nutrient density if it's conventional. But generally, when you're dealing with organic, at least you don't have the pesticides. But nutrient density, clearly, that is the way to go, because we want to get nutrition. That's why we eat, is to put nutrition into our bodies. So nutrient density is one of my favorite terms to talk about. So thank you for bringing it up again. And thank you for remembering that. Your memory is really good, Fred.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. What were we just talking about?
Yeah, there we go.
Well, we're talking about regenerative agriculture, but since you brought up the drought and since summertime is upon us, right? Everybody's happy now because it's almost summertime. But there is news that's a little bit disturbing, so I want to clarify some questions we got from the audience. Doug, please ask Dr. Dykstra, can I catch Ebola from mosquitoes? And doctor, I don't know if Ebola qualifies as a bug. I don't think it's an insect, although maybe you call it a bug. Should people be worried about catching Ebola from mosquitoes this summer?
No, there is no risk of Ebola being transmitted by mosquitoes. We do know, though, that mosquitoes do transmit diseases, and so therefore there's the question as to what they're capable of doing. Can they transmit all diseases? Of course, the answer is no. They're very good at yellow fever. They're very good at malaria, very good at encephalitis and some of the others. But as far as Ebola is concerned, we haven't documented any transmission along those lines, which means we're safe in regards Ebola.
Good, good. So anyway, yeah, last I read the World Health Organization, let me just check an update here. So they say the risk is low. And so no mosquito-borne. Boy, that's a relief for some of the folks in our audience.
I can imagine. The reason why they said low is because no one ever likes to say 0% chance of transmission. So they just say low so that, you know, if something really weird happens, they could say, well, you know, we didn't say it was actually at zero.
That's
so
right.
It was just at a low probability, and therefore, sorry you got it. Yeah.
Okay, so, Doctor, that actually is a segue into my general take on a bunch of stuff, and I don't want to offend anyone in our audience. Everybody knows that the last thing I ever want to do is offend anyone. But the way you just characterized a bureaucrat's tendency to build in a degree or two of flexibility, let's just call it, in making the call, so to speak, that bears on how I'm going to interpret and comment upon a number of the items that are in the news. For example, Fred mentioned that Secretary Kennedy visited Chef's Garden. First of all, does anyone here associated with the show have any interest in Chef's Garden? Are you stockholders? Are you founding members? Are you partners? Or are you employees?
Who are you asking? You're asking Fred or are you asking me?
Oh, yeah. Anyone associated with the program who can hear me right now, including the producers in the background and the editors, is anyone associated with, stockholder, employee of Chef's Garden?
I'm shorting that stock.
You kidding? I dumped that stock minutes ago. Are you kidding
me? And so when I heard that the Secretary of Agriculture is visiting the Chef's Garden, I looked up Chef's Garden. I did a little bit of research. I didn't buy the stock. I think it's privately held at the moment, for the moment. But this is one of the things that concerns me. And we're going to get to the HHS press release. But whenever the government visits a private business, I remember back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan would visit, I don't know, a toy factory or whatever, right? I know a lot of people hated Reagan, but nobody thought that Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter, let's say Jimmy Carter visits a toy factory in Michigan or whatever. Nobody really thought there was anything like he's actually trying to pick a winner or a loser and try to boost this toy company's interests in any way. It was just a photo op. It was kind of distasteful in that respect, but there was no, I at least, and no one I was aware of, suspected anything like the government coming in and picking a winner and a loser when it came to industry. And when I read the story about RFK visiting Chef's Garden, I thought, and maybe I'm just cynical now, I just thought, I wonder if Chef's Garden is at the government trough and this is all just one hand washing the other and that just that whole distasteful state capitalism. Have you heard the term state capitalism?
I haven't heard those two words together.
That's
absolutely
really
separately. Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're together now. It's the new word for communism. They say in China, they're not communists anymore. They're state capitalists. And it just seems to me that that type of thinking and behavior is creeping more and more into the Western democracies and how we function. And so when I read this article, I just got this cynical, oh, Chef's Garden, huh? Well, anyway, so, and I'll tell you why this bothered me. I want to go to the press release from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This was released by Brooke Rollins and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. touting their Farmers First, well, what they call it, the Farmers First pilot program to support regenerative agriculture. The government is investing $700 million to support regenerative agriculture and farmers, to put farmers first. So $700 million, just so folks know, that's more than any of us will make in our entire life.
Hey, and speak for yourself there. Yeah.
That's more money than I can comprehend in my mind. And the government is about to invest that in regenerative agriculture. And so when I read that the government's handing out $700 million, and then I read that Robert F. Kennedy has visited Chef's Garden, I'm cynical enough to say, I wonder if Chef's Garden got some of the $700 million. Am I being too cynical? I'll ask both of you.
Well, just because I need help. I need to close that short on that stock.
Okay, this is designed for the Farmers First, based upon what they said. And we should believe everything that the government says at face value. So what you have said is, no, that cannot be in the back pocket of Chef's Garden because they would not qualify as a farmer. So they, because they're not a farmer, an individual farmer, Bob the farmer, we're going to need – this money is obviously earmarked because they said so for Bob the farmer and any of the other farmers, the Farmer Browns and all that are out there. However – look into this a little bit more. $700 million. Yeah, that's a lot of money to the three of us right now. Even combined, this is you know, a huge amount of money. But when you have 34 million farmers in the country and you now distribute evenly, we have to do this evenly because we are a socialist country right now, right? So because we're doing this, we want to make sure everyone gets a piece of the pie. And that means about $206 is going to be distributed to every single farmer in America. There is no farmer, and I have spoken all over the world. I've been to Europe, Australia, Canada, Mexico, all over the United States. I've talked to farmers face to face. I don't know of any farmers who, after you handed them $200, would say, wow, I am changing my entire operation right now. This is amazing. I'm going to go out and get a new tractor right now. Thank you for the $200. So because of this, this is not going to move the needle. Because it's not moving the needle, I don't want to, I mean, $700 million is a lot, and I understand that, but for the government, and of course, well, I mean, the government doesn't have this money either. We give it to them. So because we give them the $700 million, they have deemed it appropriate in order to distribute evenly, of course, about $200 to every farmer in America, which is nothing. It's not going to do anything. It gets worse. I'm not stopping right now because I'm on a roll. Don't stop me, Doug. So if you have got $700 million going out to regenerative agriculture, wouldn't you want to know what it is? I mean, if you said, I'm giving $700 million to farmer, to Bob, many people would scratch their head and go, who's Bob? Why are we giving that much money to Bob? What does he have that the rest of us don't have? I need some background information on this. Background information on regenerative agriculture is that at this moment, as I sit before you right now, dreaming of making $700 million a year, we have got no valid definition for regenerative agriculture. Check out, get on Google, get on the internet. Oh, Doug, you want to say something right now, but I told you I'm on a roll right now. go ahead, Doug, interrupt me. I'll lose my train of thought.
Well, I remember you saying that, and you said something like, there's good regenerative agriculture, there's bad, there's wishy-washy. I remember you saying this wasn't exactly cut and dry.
This is not cut and dry. If you go to 10 different websites, you will get 10 different definitions. And if you click on, for example, someone will claim that they've got a definition, and this is how it will start. Well, regenerative agriculture, to me, in my opinion, is defined as, and then they go blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, Holy smokes. I really don't care what your personal opinion on the matter is right now. The fact is, if you go to 10 different websites, you're going to get 10 different definitions. There are some websites that can have 15 to 20 different parameters that fall under regenerative agriculture. Some of them look good. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I can get behind that. And other times I'm looking at the parameters thinking, no way am I supporting that. I am not going in that direction. We all understand some definitions. Organic agriculture. If I mention organic agriculture, I know Fred knows what I'm talking about. That generally means it has no pesticides in it. We get that. That's the one parameter which qualifies organic agriculture. But regenerative agriculture, what exactly does that mean? And so because these definitions are out there, and some of them, Doug, are long. You're just reading and reading and reading, and it's like, wow, man, I hope they get to the point real soon, because this would never get approved in a Webster's Merriam dictionary. They just need to cut this off right now. We need to know exactly what regenerative agriculture is, because we don't know what it is, which then goes back to the point that I was trying to make before I was so rudely interrupted by Doug. And that is, if we are throwing $700 million at a name that we cannot define, how efficiently do you think we're going to be using that money? I've already told you, if it's distributed evenly, it's $200. And I could tell you right now, I mean, $700 million I would love to have, but if you handed me $200 and told me to go do something terrible, I'd probably say, pass, you know, because $200 is not worth it for me to do something really, really crazy. And I've done a few of those things in my life. But you'd have to up the ante. $700 million, I might be able to do something a little bit crazy at that point. But $200, sorry, you're not going to get me. This is not going to move my needle. And so therefore, you've now got a question. This is a serious question right now as to why are we throwing $700 million at regenerative agriculture when we can't define it? And that is a major problem that I have with what is going on here right now. Did you know that regenerative agriculture, which is all about health, you ask someone, it's all about health. It's about increasing health. It's about nutrient density, health, 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 health. It's about cleaner water. It's about healthy land. Did you know that they allow pesticides? Do either of you, are you aware? Yeah, they do.
I would have thought pesticides are off the table.
Yeah, well, with some people, you know, you go to some websites and they're like, regenerative agriculture to me is about unicorns and rainbows and healthy living and also no pesticides. So some people have that idea thinking, ah, well, healthy living doesn't involve pesticides. And of course, I would be in agreement with that. Chemical farming just doesn't make sense to me in regards to health. But regenerative agriculture allows pesticides to be used. You will get lip speak about, well, we're actually kind of supportive of reducing the pesticides, but we're really not supportive of getting rid of all of it all at once. I mean, that's just for the crazy folk out there. And so therefore, because you have a back door to the pesticides, you've now got a type of agriculture, at least according to many of the definitions, that I don't agree with. Therefore, I cannot get behind regenerative agriculture. If the regenerative agriculture group, wherever they are in the world, I don't know how they define themselves, can get together at a regenerative agriculture conference, come up with a definition that all of them are in agreement with, and everyone goes, you know, I, and they're all agreeing with this definition. Now, we have a definition. Now we have something to work with. Now we understand what the $700 million is going to. But the $700 million has been approved. We do not have a definition of regenerative agriculture. So therefore, we don't know what exactly is going on with this. And as I already told you, it's not enough in order to change the mind of a farmer to do whatever it is they want the farmer to do.
Okay. Now, I just want to quote that you are correct. This is from the press release. They say that the $700 million, they're going to ensure availability for all farmers, which would be about $200 each. And then, of course, me being cynical, I wonder, are there any urban Somali farmers in Minnesota who might apply for some of this money completely on a even, fair, equitable, obviously, all of that. But you mentioned some buzzwords. Soil health, land stewardship.
Yep.
And then the press release even says talks about keeping the water cleaner, and I'm not sure how you do that. But,
oh, no, but no, hey, clean water, that is the classic buzzword. If you want something approved, you go blah, 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 clean water. And everyone's like, well, you know, we're all on board for clean water, so just go ahead and sign that, yeah.
Yes. So you do understand why I may be getting cynical. Okay. I very much appreciate knowing that someone else understands that making the water cleaner at the end strikes me as a bit fantastical. And then, of course, ensuring availability for all farmers, I just don't think that's possible. I mean, it's a laudable goal.
It's not possible. Yeah, realistically.
Yeah, it's not possible. And so I worry about, you know, it was so easy during the Biden administration because it was just like open grand larceny in front of God and everybody. There was no shame about it. And so it was so easy to see. And of course, now we're actually sifting through the wreckage of some of the most massive fraud in human history that's ever been pulled off in broad daylight. And so it was easy during the Biden administration to talk about and comment on what was going on. We need to hold our leaders accountable, no matter what part of this political spectrum they come from, whether we voted for them or not, and especially if we did vote for them. We need to hold them accountable. So has the Department of Agriculture, they have not endorsed a specific definition of regenerative agriculture?
To my knowledge, no. There is no accepted definition. And I have no idea how many people need to accept it. But based upon the diversity of definitions that are out there, as I am aware, as I'm sitting before you right now, I am not aware of a valid definition. However, there is no shortage of definitions that are out there, because some people are listening to me right now who have a bone to pick in this. They have a dog in the fight. We'll sit there and say, I've got a definition, and they feel that their definition is correct, and they would want to get online, and I want to talk to friend and dog. I'm going to give them my definition. And so that's your personal definition. But right now, we don't have an acceptable definition, and the problem with having an acceptable definition so that we can all get behind it, but there is disparity. These definitions, if you line them up with one another, they're not equivalent. And so because they're not equivalent, we need to have clear language, because right now we've got some people who honestly, in their hearts, believe that regenerative agriculture has nothing to do with pesticides. And then we have other groups of people who are willing to use it at will, and then we'll use, even on a podcast like this, and they'll mention the magic word, regenerative agriculture, and everyone will be like, wow, that sounds like a beautiful term, regenerative agriculture. Sounds like it's regenerating the world, like everything. Everything is just better right now. It's a whole unicorns and rainbow thing. And so you're listening to it thinking it sounds good. And then as they're mentioning regenerative agriculture, you quickly throw in clean water at the end, and boom, you've got the stamp of approval from everyone who's listening to you right now. But as the dumb scientist here, I have to look further, and I'm not understanding the definition. I'm not following why there's a disparity. I have trouble with it. And now I have even more trouble with it because $700 million have been thrown at it right now. Some people are saying right now, well, it's not as much as $9 billion. I get that too, okay? $9 billion is a huge amount of money as well, but the $700 million is also a good chunk of change. And so we do need to have some kind of responsibility to $700 million, even more so to $9 billion, but $700 million definitely needs to have a modicum of responsibility associated with it.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, if you had the $700 million, what would you do? Is there an acceptable definition for this regenerative agriculture? How would you spend that money after you've already spent some on your family and your seven lovely kids?
Let's see. After I spend it on my family, my seven lovely kids, do you honestly think I'm going to have any money left over? I mean,
come on. That's $100 million each.
Have you seen them eat? I've got four teenagers right now. Come on.
well, so, yeah. Actually, seriously, are you willing to submit a definition of regenerative agriculture for consideration?
I would not submit one. The reason why is because I am absolutely in love with nutrient density. I like it. It makes sense to me. If this is the goal, everyone seems to understand what density means. Unless, of course, you watch a Back to the Future movie. In that case, you might be a little bit confused about the whole density thing. Some people are getting that joke. Other people are not. But nutrient, people understand nutrient, too. So nutrient density makes sense to me. If that's the goal, is to make our food more nutrient dense, then that is a goal that is clear in my mind. I don't need regenerative agriculture. Now, it just so happens that organic agriculture also has usually sometimes a similar goal of nutrient density. So most of the time I'm supportive of the organic agriculture movement. But I also know is that based upon the fact that I do test Brix levels, that sometimes organic food is not as high a Brix as I would like it to be. And so therefore, I'm not as behind organic agriculture. But nutrient density, I love. So I've got something that I like. Why would I throw the baby out with the bathwater here? I'm perfectly fine with talking about nutrient density. I think all the listeners understand that, at least at some level right now, is that you simply have a higher density of nutrition and stop, period. You know, I'm not having another 15 to 20 markers and like additionally what nutrient density is. It's simply about increasing the density of your food. And if that's the goal, there are several ways, many ways that we can do that. That's why I'm not interested in putting forward a definition of regenerative agriculture, much to your disappointment.
Well, so are you implying that regenerative agriculture may merely be the Taylor Swift of 2024 in 2026? Is Taylor Swift over yet? I don't want to make a bad social. Is she over?
Who? Taylor who?
Yes. Taylor Swift. Oh no, I did it. I'm bad at this. Who is it? Maybe I even got the wrong name.
No. I know you got the right name.
So is it possible that regenerative agriculture is like something like that?
Regenerative agriculture is the thing. This is the thing everyone gets behind. This is the code word that everyone puts in. There's clean water. There's regenerative agriculture. These are the words you put in. So it's the thing right now. And because it's big, it's not going to stop anytime soon. I absolutely see this going on. It's been going on for a few years. It will go on for a few years more. I'm just saying, as a scientist, I cannot get behind it because it is not clear to me. And we scientists, we either like clarity or we pretend to like clarity. It's one of the two, depending upon the mood of the scientist at that particular moment. So because of that, I'm not in the mood in order to support regenerative agriculture unless someone gives me a definition that just causes me to go, wow, that's it. I'm behind this. This is wonderful. This is fantastic. Because sometimes I do see nutrient density in the definitions. Other times it's left out. I wouldn't leave it out at all because I think it's important enough to be included. And anytime you're talking about food, we should be talking about nutrient density. But because it's left out and it's put in, these are sometimes just code words for getting implicit approval of something. And therefore, I'm just not on board. Just not.
Let's pause here. Next week, we'll continue with Dr. Dykstra and move from government buzzwords to something very practical: nutrient density, healthy soil, and whether your food is really as nutritious as it looks. This is Real Science Radio.